This morning we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at, again, the rapture. I know that a number of months ago I shared a message there. It was on the focus of what actually was going to happen in this event called the rapture. And I prayerfully kept on thinking about the topic because I'm finding a lot of resistance, I wouldn't say in Fairbluff, but I'm finding a lot of resistance in the world today that they want to play it down. It's not something that is literally going to happen and so on. And so just in response to that, I had the burden on my heart to want to, again, stir your hearts to remember that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for the capturing up of the church is something that is getting ready to happen. I don't know about you as you have been going through this week, but I can't help but look at the headlines, whether it's China and the Philippines arguing over these flotation devices they put in the territorial waters of the Philippines, or it's North Korea and Russia putting their efforts and military powers together, or it's the continued war in Ukraine between Russia and Ukraine, or it's the falling out between Poland and Ukraine, or it's home. We can't seem to pass a spending budget that allows the government to remain funded. Yes, the House moved it. It'll be interesting to see if Congress passes it. We're looking at a stock market that is filled with jitters. We're looking at crimes that are blossoming all across our nation and around the world. Mass killings. We're looking at flooding in many countries. Do you get the idea? The headlines are dark. And of course, the news syndicates, they always want to focus on the dark and depressing. And so you don't generally hear news items of joy and rejoicing. But I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I take a look at what our world is experiencing, and two thoughts come to mind. Number one, yeah, the days were tough during the Puritan age, and the fact that they would then escape to the United States and set up in an environment that was not hostile to their Christianity and their belief systems. We have other instances where people have fled, but you know, there's nowhere to flee today. It's as if the entire globe is now established, and so if you find yourself in persecution, it's going to be something that is hard-pressed unless you're going to find a little tiny island somewhere in a remote place to be able to set up. But then, of course, we've got the responsibility of sharing Jesus Christ, and what are you going to do to share him on a little island with only you and your family there? So the first thing is that I can't help but think that we're in what the New Testament calls the last days, referring to not the second coming, but the last days, referring to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his church. Second thing I think about is just having gone through this minor surgery that I had, and thank you for your prayers. I would say I'm 99.9% recovered. And yet we look around our fellowship and we're faced with challenges. Our dear sister Ellen continuing to struggle with recovery from her stroke. We think of Jennifer, who, by the way, I believe is still in the hospital, needing to get into a nurse care facility. I sit there and look at Cheryl. She's got oxygen on to help her breathe. Our sister Judy and Cheryl struggling with cancer. We could just keep going on and on and on with the challenges, whether it's something small and seemingly ineffective or unimportant, or it could be major and devastating and problematic. So the two phrases that I often give in Forgive me for giving them again. This is not our home. This is not our home. And yet a nation that is faced with challenges. Look at the millions and billions of dollars spent every year to try to make staying here longer and a little bit better. I think all of us that are getting up in years, and we're all at various levels, it seems the older you get, the more challenging it is to keep living here. This is not our home. This is not where God intended us to be able to have that experience of being with Him. It is our place to share Jesus Christ with the lost. That's, I believe, the main reason that He's left us here, so that we can tell others the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. So like in our first message, they can make a decision between they and God that they would want to spend eternity with Him. We're one of the instruments that God uses to communicate to those that are on planet Earth here. And what a sad world it is to watch these aging people keep trying to fix up their shells so that they can live a little bit longer in less and less autonomy and freedom. We're all headed to the grave unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. So the first phrase is this, it's not our home, and praise God. Praise God. And the other is maybe today. Maybe today the Lord Jesus Christ will come and we'll hear His voice and we will be caught up to be with Him and changed in just a moment. But you know, that concept of maybe today is something that is being challenged in our world today. We have our understanding, our teaching, our theology on what the rapture is. We have another little division of theology that we attach to it, and that is the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to delve into that just a tiny bit this morning. The imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I will be one personally that will resist the temptation of the world to say, it's not today. It couldn't be today. There's still something else to happen. And I sit there and I say, no. My Savior might come back today. And that's what we want to focus on for a few minutes here this morning. Let's take a look at just a few verses in Philippians chapter 3, 17 through 21, and then we'll open our time in prayer. It says in verse 17 of Philippians chapter 3, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." And here it is. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself." Our God and Father, we come before You this morning and we rejoice at Your word, that it has many things for us to study and to learn and to latch onto. It is filled with hope. It is also filled with terror. Terror for those that have not accepted Jesus Christ. And so we pray that You would burden our hearts to strive for sharing the gospel with our fellow human beings. Pray that we would be an instrument, that maybe some passing statement or an opportunity to talk to them would help them to understand that You are real and that they need to make a decision as to whether they wish to spend eternity with You. Father, we pray in a world that is adverse to some of these teachings that You would encourage our hearts to remember that our Lord Jesus Christ might be coming back today. We rejoice in that. We take confidence in it, and we also take comfort. We pray these things now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to look at the imminence of the Lord Jesus Christ coming in just a minute, but I'd like to just give an illustration of the imminence of an event, which means it's about to happen. It could happen at any moment. Ruth and I had the joy on Friday to have Highlands and Miles and Ruth come to the house. I tell you, as a grandfather, I have so much fun. And Amy was telling me that Highlands could do nothing but talk about going to Grampy's house. I introduced them to soccer on the front yard. He kicked it twice and threw it about 30 times. I wasn't going to tell him that it is a no-hands game. So fun to see him grow. And then little Miles, he's coming up on 9 weeks. Oh, my goodness. If you ever hear the story, those two little boys got their finger, they've got my fingers wrapped up. You know, my heart just does it. But imminent. I knew Amy was leaving, but I know she usually takes a stop on the way because the boys need to have a little stretch time and a little bit of entertainment. And so there's a place, I think maybe close to Florence, called Chucky's. It's a great big truck stop. And it's got all kinds of fun things. And so Amy takes them in there. She can take care of Miles' needs, change diapers. And of course, there's all kinds of things for Highlands to be involved with. The problem is, with her making stops like that, I really don't know when she's going to show up. And so we text back and forth and we say, okay, well, we're leaving Chucky's now, so it should be this long. And what do? I pay attention and I say, okay, she's supposed to be now showing up about 3:15. I'm going to start watching for this. And so about 3:15, I don't want to pester her while she's driving because she shouldn't be driving and texting at the same time. So I don't put that temptation in front of her. But you know, her arrival is about to happen. It's imminent. And what do? Well, I'll grab a book, but usually I can't pay attention to it. And I'll go sit in our recliner because the recliner looks right out the front window of our house. And I know exactly where Amy's going to park. And I sit there and I wait. And I anticipate. And 3:15 comes. Anytime she could show up. 3:20 shows up. Anytime. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to wait and watch. And all of a sudden that happens. And what do? I jump out of that chair and I head for the door. And I've got to help bundle those two little guys into the house so we can start having some Grampy and Grammy time. That's the idea of imminent. And what I love in verse 20 of Philippians chapter 3, it says, our citizenship is in heaven. We know where we're going. We know where we're going. From which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to come back to that at the end of the message. Because I want to challenge your heart like I'm challenging mine. Am I anywhere close to being eager about the Lord's coming like I was with Miles and Highlands? I tell you, it's pretty intense. I was glad to sit in that chair and not be able to read a word out of my little book because I was watching. Am I like that with the Lord Jesus Christ coming? We know this isn't our home. We also know from our theological position, it might be today, but in my heart, am I looking out the window waiting for that? Well, let's just review the event a little bit. We're not going to dive into a lot of details here, but just so that we're not on two different pages, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I just want to read the event again as described in God's Word. It's something that hasn't happened, so this is prophetic. It's something that is coming, and we have the teaching that it is imminent. It is about to happen. verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I just want to read this to again marinate in your heart the wonder of this event that is about to happen. Verse 13 says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep or who have died, that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope." And those that do not have hope are those that did not choose to desire to spend eternity with God. Verse 14, "And if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, which could be today, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. But the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Feel free to go ahead and just turn back to Philippians chapter 3, as we'll go back there in just a little bit. Let me do that myself so I'm ready to talk there. Oh, what a wonder that that's going to be the day that the Lord Jesus Christ comes back for us in the church, because that's the day that Cheryl's going to stop having trouble breathing, because her mortal body is going to be changed and it's going to be immortal. You know, we're not going to be worrying about aches and pains anymore. It's going to completely change. This is something that is ahead of us that we anticipate, and yet our anticipation sometimes gets pretty dull. So I want to sharpen it just a little bit. You know, one thing that's really cool about knowing that something is going to happen is you can watch for it. I remember again I can't keep track of time now, but you remember that balloon that the Chinese had floated all the way across the United States? Would you believe it? That silly balloon flew probably within 5 to 10 miles of Amy and Bobby's house in Conway. And, you know, talk about, I was so mad. Because guess where I was? I was having a nap. And as I was sleeping, I kept on hearing this roaring. And I tried to come out of my sleep saying, "There are no airlines that sound like that. What is going on?" I just couldn't get up. And then suddenly I heard this big kaboom. And I jumped up out of bed and I said, "Okay, I'm wide awake now. Something unusual is happening." And of course I threw my shoes on and ran outside. I was sleeping through an event that was just unbelievable, because I could still see the fighter aircraft circling the balloon up there. And I could still see the balloon, but what the big boom was the missile they fired at it to destroy it. And there was the balloon, and it slowly deflated, and then all of a sudden you see it begin to sail. And I'm standing right there, and I was sleeping. Nobody told me that it was there. But God's word tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And I don't want to be asleep in my mind thinking, "Oh, it's unimportant. It's somewhere down the line." The thing that's a challenge is 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4 that we just read are two passages that tell us the what of the rapture. Tells us what's going to happen. Tells us that the Lord Jesus is going to come back. It tells us events associated with that. It tells us that if we are alive at that moment, we're not going up first. We come second, because all of our loved ones in the Lord Jesus Christ, that their bodies are still in the grave, but they're present with the Lord, their bodies are going to go up first, and we're going to be right behind them. And that's going to be an exciting day for me. I think that's going to be awesome. Now, it's serious on the flip side, because guess what? Our work of evangelism here in Charlotte, North Carolina ends. I'm not going to be here anymore. I'm going to be with the Lord. There's a challenge. How much am I spending my time and effort to share Jesus Christ with other people? Because if it's today, that duty stops instantaneously. Oh, it's going to be great here, but it's going to be serious here on planet Earth. But we have those two passages that give us a clear indication of what we will be changed, and we will be with him for all of eternity. What a joy that is. When I take a look at God's word, I find that the imminence, the about to happen verses in God's word, there are about 20 passages or phrases or verses in the New Testament, in the epistles, that build that anticipation that it could be now, and that we need to be encouraging ourselves to stay focused on that. And of course, Philippians 4 is one of those from which also we eagerly wait. That's important for us to consider. The whole process of it being imminent is that we don't know when it's going to happen. I didn't know when Amy was going to show up, but I knew that it was going to be soon. The fact that we are looking for it today, it ought to be more serious for us because our day has become more evil than Christians living throughout history. Yes, there have been hideous and terrible times, and we don't suffer some of those issues that are affecting the church as it grew through the Middle Ages, the Roman period, and so on. But our day is unique and special. We were talking about AI. We're looking at so many things that are attacking societies and so on. These are dark times, and we are probably getting close to when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back, and then the judgment of Israel and the earth will begin with the tribulation. You know, one thing that I think about that ought to be sobering for us in our dispensational perspective, as opposed to a covenant perspective, there are no prophecies yet to be fulfilled. We'll look at one of the positions. Well, we can look at it now. I've got two magazines up here. One I would endorse and say, and this isn't a paid commercial or anything, but if you want a good read, Israel My Glory, which is put out by the Friends of Israel, I have just enjoyed the authorship of this magazine over and over again. It's put out every 2 months, and it is just filled with a lot of teaching that helps us understand the distinction between Israel and the church. It also teaches the prophetic perspective that most of us hold at Fairbluff, which would be a flavor of dispensational teaching. And so I spend a lot of time enjoying the articles in here. They're good to start a study with because they are well-written, simple, but you can dive into the topics a little bit. Israel My Glory is going to give us a perspective of pre-tribulation rapture. You remember from our earlier lessons, you have the tribulation period. You've got the beginning, you've got the middle, and you've got the end. In this perspective, and I hold the same position as Friends of Israel, the church is going to be raptured before the tribulation begins. We will be taken to be with the Lord. Then the man of lawlessness will sign a covenant with Israel for 7 years, and then the world goes into a terrible time of tribulation that God's word describes as having never, ever, nor will it ever again be that terrible. Dispensational with a pre-tribulation point of view. I have another magazine called Zion's Fire. I don't endorse this one. Again, personally, I think that it has some problems. But Marvin Rosenthal used to be a key writer in Israel My Glory, but he changed his perspective from pre-tribulation rapture to mid-tribulation rapture. Friends of Israel says, you can't stay with us if you don't hold a pre-tribulation perspective. here's where the rub comes, and it's really important for us to be aware of. The imminent return about to happen, could happen today, is going to be effective with a pre-tribulation rapture, meaning we are walking along the timeline and there are no additional prophecies waiting or needing to be fulfilled that we're aware of. I'm not going to be the one to say there aren't any, that I'm aware of before the Lord comes and gathers up the church. And then we enter into the tribulation. If you go with the Zion's fire, they're going to say, okay, you've got the tribulation. It doesn't happen at the beginning. It happens halfway through, and then you finish out the tribulation period. For me, that's a challenge because now I've got a prophecy that's between me and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's no longer imminent. He's no longer about to come because I can tell you when he's going to come. If we come to the tribulation, what's going to trigger the tribulation? It's not the rapture. It's the man of lawlessness. It's the Antichrist signing a seven-year covenant with Israel, which he's going to break halfway through. If this is the view that mid-tribulation is the interpretation of God's word, then I'm not looking for the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. I'm looking for the appearance of the man of lawlessness. And how am I going to know him? Because he's going to do something with Israel nobody else has ever done, and that is he's going to, with probably the chaos of the world about something Israel's done, he's going to sit down and he's going to sign a contract with them for 7 years. If that's the case, 1,260 days later, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come, because you're saying that it's the mid-tribulation. So brothers and sisters, I just share this because our theology, our theological foundation is critical in us being able to say, maybe today. Another example, and I just briefly touched this, again, are the main schools of theology that we have out there. As I indicated, I come from a dispensational perspective. Let me give this little caveat in there. We always do this in CPA classes. If you're doing a presentation, you start out the course and you say, now this is information only, you are not allowed to use what I say to apply to your... So I just want to do a disclaimer. Dispensational theology is not perfect. It's not perfect. And yet as I have worked with it and also covenant / reform theology over the years, I have come to love dispensational principles because they make the most sense with eschatology. So what I would say is this, if you're from a dispensational perspective, most likely you're going to be able to say, he might come today. But I'm here to say that it is very few and far between that you will find somebody from a covenant theological perspective or a reformed theological perspective that will agree with you. In many cases, those forms or those foundations of theology are going to focus on the fact that Israel was a type, the church is the real Israel, and now you have to go ahead and take the whole gamut of eschatology, future things, and make them of no effect because you can't apply them. And along with that comes a disparaging or a diminishing of the reality of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for the church. So I would just give you the encouragement, continue to study. I'm not going to force feed, but I again will testify that a dispensational foundation, faulty as it is, it has problems, but a dispensational perspective does have for me the best framework for me to understand the things that are coming, and it paves the way for me to say today, the Lord Jesus Christ may come back. With that in mind, let me go ahead and wrap up. Back to Philippians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power he has even to subject all things to himself. I'd like to just in closing focus again on that whole concept in verse 20, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are quick to say an amen when I go and say this isn't our home, because we all know it. We all know it. Oh, there we go. We got a good amen there. This is not our home, and we're deluded if we think that this is utopia, that this, I'm creeping my way up to retirement age now, and I'm sitting there going, I think I'm a little bit of an idiot. You know, I've worked so hard for all these years, scrounging for good pay and savings and putting the money into the investment with the financial advisors. And, you know, I just right now with the government funding, don't look at your investments. they're all shrinking up. Brothers and sisters, what a hideous place this is. We spend so much time trying to get ready for retirement. Those of you that are in retirement, it can be a blessed time. But my goodness, morning after morning you wake up and you get that knock on the door and say, oh yeah? you really think this is where it's at? No, it isn't. We all know in reality that our home is in heaven. Again, that's why I love Paul writing here, our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we're bound, folks. That's where we're bound. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to be with him forever. I want to look into his face. I want to see the holes in his hands, perhaps the marks of the thorns in his brow. Oh, tears ought to come down my face to think he bore that for me. But I want to look at his face. I want to see it forever. This is not our home. And I know you say amen to that. But at the same time, I say, maybe today, is that just a phrase that we like throwing out? How eager am I to wait for my Savior? Oh, I was eager. Sitting in front of that window, it would have taken an earthquake or a hurricane to take my focus off that front window, waiting for Amy and Miles and Islands to show up. I was eager. I have to look at me and say, how eager am I really for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? It feels good to say, maybe today. But how real is it? How real is it? Do I change my life in anticipation for his coming? Ought it not be something that would cause me to reflect? And again, this is just me talking. The Holy Spirit has to work with you. And he's working with me. And I'm just realizing I do not demonstrate the eagerness about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back like I did with my grandkids. I hate to testify it, but this world's got so many things that wants to get in front of my face. I've got so many aches and pains that I focus on what can I do to fix it here. May God give us a burning inside to realize this is real. May we be found in a way spiritually sitting on that easy chair looking out the window for his return. It's so hard, brothers and sisters, to get that reality. It's been 2,000 years and he hasn't shown up yet. But that doesn't mean that it can't be today. Am I ready? In some ways, I say no. I still have this shackle of the world on me. I still am bound to sin. Yes, I will sin until he comes. But there are things that I could do to minimize it. How much time do I spend in His Word refreshing my thoughts and my thinking that He could come back today? I might look into His face today. One sad thing that I think as I continue to study the Word of God is we've got the judgment seat of Christ. It's not a judgment seat because I sinned. It's asking, what did you do with your life for me? So I have this anticipation. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to come back today. And part of it is an escape mechanism because it's getting pretty crummy here. I'd like to go, I'd like to be with Him and have all this behind me. But am I getting out there and evangelizing? Am I getting out there and teaching God's Word? Am I encouraging my fellow brothers and sisters? I need to be reaching out to you and saying, I want to make sure that you are eager, that you are eagerly waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It could be today. How am I going to look if it really, really happens? Am I going to sit there and go, what? It actually happened? No. We need to be filled with that anticipation. Brothers and sisters, again, as we just close this time, we have so much in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just, my goodness, again, we came to the table this morning. We remembered that God loved the world. He loved me so much that His body was broken, His blood was shed. He wanted me to be with Him in glory, wanted me to spend eternity with me. And yet at 10 o'clock, I expressed the idea. But I had to decide, did I want to spend eternity with Him? And if I believe God, He counts it to me as righteousness, then we have the anticipation that if He comes today, I will be caught up to be with Him forever. Our God and Father, we come into Your holy presence this morning. We've been looking at some very heady topics. Our salvation, Your sacrifice, the payment of our sins, the anticipation and hope in the future that we will be able to spend all of eternity with You. The anticipation of knowing that these bodies that are crumbling as we live in them one day, maybe today, will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Mortality will put on immortality and corruption will put on incorruptibility. And the greatest thing, Heavenly Father, is that we're going to be able to look at our Lord Jesus Christ as He is. And I'm sure I will weep seeing the testimony of what He suffered on my behalf. Holes in His hands and feet, puncture in His side. I don't know if His beard will still be plucked as it was when He went to the cross. Perhaps the marks of the crown of thorns that He wore. But I will see Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Father, while we wait, pray that our hearts would not be cold and indifferent, but that You would truly wake up in us an eagerness for the return of our blessed Savior. We ask for Your help. We ask for fixing our human fleshliness, and may we give You honor and glory. We give You praise now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.